Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What are you going to leave?
Let's coordinate the tip here.
Why?
Well, we split the check. We both have the exact same bill. So why don't we leave the same thing so one of us doesn't look like an idiot?
Mike Shope.
But what is the big deal if we both leave the same amount?
What do you want to leave? What's your inclination?
$12.
$12?
Yeah.
Good. Put down 12.
How much are you going to leave?
The Bulldog.
I'm encouraging you to leave $12. I think it's a number. There's nothing to be ashamed of on writing $12 under gratuity on your check.
Are you going to leave $12?
You want to know what I'm leaving? I'm going to write down what I'm leaving right now. I'm writing a number. Now I'm folding that number.
You're not going to tell me what you left? Is that it?
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I am very excited about our show.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'm here to proclaim my ignorance today, at least at the beginning.
It's about time.
It is about time. You were listening to or a part of our conversation in here earlier about these prop bets.
Right, yes.
What do you think the deal is?
I suggested one idea, and it's my best guess. I have no experience whatsoever monitoring NFL draft prop bets in the days leading up to the draft, but I might guess that they are volatile in the 48 hours leading up to the actual draft.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That they just move.
Mayfield last year,
right? And so that's what you're seeing. If you looked at them 4 hours ago and now you're looking at them again and they seem like they're moving.
Yeah, like the Mayfield example is an extreme one. Like that last year, it's Tuesday afternoon, draft is Thursday night. I don't know this like from memory, but at this time last year, Mayfield I think is a big long shot to be the first pick. Like I don't think anybody's there yet. I might have been making fun of somebody suggesting it. Like, come on, pay attention.
Right.
But then by Wednesday morning, I was betting it. Because to me, like the right people, by then, the right people were telling you it might be Mayfield. And so I chose to believe it at that point and bet it. And then I bet enough so that when he was announced, I was relieved. Like,
ooh, okay.
Ooh, thank goodness I didn't get suckered into this.
Right, okay.
So that was like an example of that happening. Here's why I'm asking. So I wrote for our website at like 11 today, this morning. I got done around noon or 12:15. And I thought, well, I'm looking at these prop bets for the draft. And, you know, we're talking to Sal and I'm paying attention to it. Like yesterday at this time, I'm in here like, all right, I'm starting to get into this, you know, and and having fun with it. So I went to a website and I'm looking at the prop bets. And then I'm just writing like, well, this is interesting to me and I would probably do this and I wouldn't do that, right? And you can read that article. Came to work, checked it again. Frank Clark was traded while I was on the way here. So I didn't have that this morning. I don't know if it would have mattered to the article. Like an hour ago, I looked at the odds again because I decided there was one more I wanted to play.
Uh-huh.
And three of the seven or eight lines that I mentioned in my column had moved. So that's why you're saying, I think that's probably what happens a lot.
Right.
The days leading up to the draft.
Right.
And that seems right. It probably does move a lot. But like I made a $30 bet on one of these when I was writing the article. And then I came to work and saw, and I made a $30 bet and I wrote, I would bet this. And actually I did.
Uh-huh.
came to work and the line had moved hard toward that.
Right.
DK Metcalf. When does DK Metcalf get drafted?
Right. And you were wondering, should I interject humbly wonder, like, is it possible that
right.
what I, like the wager I made, let alone what I've written here, would be affecting the line? And I
can't believe it would.
No, I have to
I can't believe a $30 bet would. Maybe enough people are betting it having read the column, but like, I don't think so.
No, I doubt it.
I doubt it.
Enough people might just be betting it just because.
It could be a coincidence.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, it almost has to be.
Right. Now I'm just, you know, I guess I'm not going to really find out until next year unless somebody can tell us, like, yeah, I'm you know, it's possible someone in our audience will get a hold of you through Twitter or us or the show or maybe even call and say, like, yeah, I'm on that site every year leading up to the draft and stuff moves like crazy. That's my guess, is that just is it's a part of the time of the year, and these aren't teams that are getting ready to play one another, so maybe there's a little more volatile than your normal game line would be, because it's all just news spin, basically, that you know, you're basing it off of what is Adam Schefter saying today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Isn't it like a safer kind of betting than games? Where are you better off? Only betting games or only betting the draft? Would you rather bet the draft than games?
I don't think I would enjoy it as much because it's over. There's no ebb and flow to it. You know, like if you're betting on a guy not going before the eighth pick or something, say, right?
Ed Oliver.
Is that the Ed Oliver bet? He's going in the top eight.
Right.
You know, I guess every pick you get some time. I don't know. One of the things about when you have a stake in a game that isn't your favorite team, so you've created it by wagering on it, is you watch the game, and there's like a, you know, there's a beginning and a middle and an end, and there can be a roller coaster, and that can be fun. The draft is just sort of straight ahead. You know, there's no real variance. It's just, did he get picked? No. Okay, great. I won.
The draft is, in a sense, more like live betting. So live betting,
right,
is,
yes,
for a game. Live betting is you're watching a game or a tennis match or anything, and the line moves as the game plays out.
Right, and like what's the next play going to be? What's the next score going to be? Something like that.
That or just who will win.
Yeah, okay.
And
right,
as a game moves, you know, so do the odds on who will win the game. And betting on Ed Oliver is moving now. Like, that's another one that moved after I wrote. And I wrote, I didn't even take a position on Ed Oliver in the article. Like, I don't know what I would do. The price seems about right, and I'm not sure which side I'm on. And that line moved between when I was done and when I got here toward Ed Oliver being a top eight picks. There's probably some report somewhere. And, you know, live betting is you're betting during the game as it becomes legal. You know, New York, not surprisingly, will take forever and probably, you know, it'll always be screwed up. But when it does, in theory, it does come to fruition that you will be able to do this, like, on your phone, and you can watch, we're watching this Tottenham-Brighton Hove Albion soccer game, and we could be betting on that as it's going. People are doing that. People at that stadium are doing that.
Yes.
Right now. So in theory, like, that should be available to us, and the draft is the same thing. It's also more obscure. It's also, like, if you're anybody listening, a lot of people listening would have bet football games in their lives. Not as many would have bet the draft, because
right,
you have to have the account, you know, to be able to do that pretty
right
much.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I do like it, and I think it might be better. I think I might like this more than betting games, only because I think I'd have a better chance of doing well. Like, the Mayfield thing last year was knowing the flow of information,
uh-huh.
And, like, who's going to be right here and what are they saying. Like, that's stuff that I pay close attention to.
Sure.
And you know, games...
Yeah, games are going to be more random. There's not that you can control the draft coverage, but you have in this job, we have maybe a little more experience than the average person in sort of sifting through what is really happening when it comes to the Ian Rappaports of the world. Like, is that real? Is that a favor? What is going on there? Should I choose to believe this? Do I want to say authoritatively on the radio, yeah, that's going to happen? Whereas, yeah, with games, it's, you know, who knows what the hell's going to happen in a game, usually.
Exactly right.
You know, so this is a little more, maybe a little more reliable if you think you've got a good filter to put up against what is being reported.
Yeah, and I will take my chances with this. Like, I have bet a few of these things, and some of it is from that experience, not all of it. Is there anything about the draft that you right now are confident in? Like, Kyler Murray, for example, on this website, Kyler Murray is, will he be a top two pick? And it's 7-1 that he will.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how confident are you in that or anything else happening in this draft that you might want to, like, put your money on it? Anybody.
Yeah, right. I don't, Ed Oliver, I would bet, goes before the Bills can pick him at 9. Like that right? That's top 8 pick,
mm-hmm.
and that's the favorite side, is that he goes in that top 8.
It was 3-1 when I wrote. Yeah. It is now 4-1 that happens.
I think that's I think that's pretty likely.
Because Jets or someone else or what?
Right. Yes, I think he's a good enough prospect, and just I would have a hard time seeing him. I'm going to just say fall all the way to 8. Murray, I don't know.
To 9.
Thank you. Murray, I don't know. You know, I'm inclined, but this happened last year with Mayfield. Like, it's important to remember it. I'm inclined to think the amount of doubt that there's been in the last 2, 3, 4 days about Murray going to Arizona, I feel like it's just the thing that happens before the draft, and all the original reporting on him going to Arizona is what's correct. And that this is just noise now. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that. And that, you know, you just laid out what happened with Mayfield last year. It was going to be Josh Allen for a little while. Was going to be the first pick, I think, right? And then it was Darnold. They love LeBron. Oh, the owner. He loves him. This is no good luck getting the Browns owner off of set. And then, you know, a day and a half before the draft, it's going to be Mayfield. So that could be happening again.
I wish I could remember right now, like, some of those details. I can't. You know, I just remember this overall, like, generally, but I cannot remember details there.
So I don't have – I wouldn't want to bet on Murray right now.
Who said what when?
Like, if I had to bet, I would bet he goes to Arizona, but I wouldn't feel great about making the bet. I would want to probably stand down on betting on that because – I think there's reason to have doubt. He is. I mean, there's stuff about him that I think could scare a team from using the first overall pick. And even his size is a part of that.
Pete Prisco is somebody who is predicting that Arizona will not pick him.
Yeah.
So, you know, with the odds come into it and something that you expect to happen. Well, you're not sure you'd bet it because the odds are one way. Kyler Murray is a top two pick. Is 7-1, yes.
Yeah.
And, or 1-7, actually. 1-7, yes. 700 to win 100. And no, 100 to win 400. So, which side would you want to be on if you had to be on one? Would you pay 700 to win 100 that he's a top two pick? Like, that's steep. Or do you take your chances the other way? Are you confident enough? Are you suspicious enough?
Mm-hmm.
About what you've heard, that I'll put 100 on the chance that he is not a top two pick.
I think I would do that.
You would.
I would.
You'd
do
prefer
that. Yeah. I mean, it is still. I know. Like, we had. I loved the conversation yesterday with Sigmund Bloom. And one part of it is something that whenever the subject comes up, I enjoy, even if it's just brief, like it was yesterday with him, the league sort of changing and realizing that, you know, Russell Wilson is indeed a very good and productive quarterback, and so is Baker Mayfield, and these aren't 6'5" guys. So Kyler Murray using more college concepts, you should be able to make that work for you in the NFL. The NFL is trending that way, and I respect that. But it's still the NFL, and they still have a predication toward the big guy. And there's also the baseball part of all that. And like, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do or how teams would interpret their interactions with Murray and the family. I read, what's the name of the guy? SI, we had him on last year. He was embedded with Mayfield, and he just did a long-form piece on Murray.
Robert Klemko.
Yes, thank you. Good. And
John McEntee.
The dad, and look, this stuff can be overblown, but the dad reads in that Klemko SI piece like a just sort of shadowy, you know, he's looking out for his kid. So they didn't really get around to saying this, I don't think, or Klemko didn't, or no one is quoted as saying this in the piece, any personnel people anonymously worrying. I would worry about baseball with the kid. What happens if in the second year of his rookie contract, he gets a head injury and then another one? Like, I know what I'd be saying if I were the dad of an athlete that was that prolific. I'd be going, I'm all in on the thing that's going to pay him right now, and that's football. Okay, I'm all in. A couple of head injuries down the road, and hey, you know what? Like, maybe you should go back and play for the A's. You know, like, I'd be worried about that. If I'm going to draft him first overall, if it gets too tough physically, emotionally, he's got a bigger fallback than any other guy, maybe in the history of the draft. He was a first round pick in baseball. Like, he's not just some flyer 12th round guy. Like, he's a prospect.
Like Russell Wilson or somebody.
Like, he could just go do that. And I would, you know, if the Bills were in a position to draft him, I'd be worrying about that. You just never know.
The draft is great for this. There are so many interesting dynamics within every team. You know, in that one they have, I could quip here, good thing they have Josh Rosen, so they don't have to worry about that. Even though you last year said exactly the same thing about Josh Rosen. Not baseball, but is this a guy who could just walk away from it?
Right.
Like, so this team has the same situation the next year.
That's
it's
right.
It's wild. And also the fact that the GM is still there, but the coach, who was not even successful at college, is there now, and the coach is the one who's crushing on Murray. Like, a lot of times, it's what makes it so much fun to talk about. Like, the NFL gives you these sort of dynamics, and they're hard to predict.
Right.
It's hard to predict what will happen in that. Well, the Bills at 9, I mean, you have Oliver to talk about and a couple of other guys. There's no prop bet on this site on Hockenson. I would like one. Not to bet it necessarily, but just to know what the prediction is. I mean, that's the thing about prop bets. Some people hear the conversation and just like, oh, gambling, and like they don't gamble or whatever. They don't even want to tap into it. But the thing about it, and this is like also, I just thought of this. This is also what the press conferences are for. And because some people with the press conferences go, I can't believe you guys are talking about that. They are clues. The press conferences can be clues, and the betting lines can be clues. What will happen in the draft? And so, at Oliver, 4-1 top 8, doesn't have to go in the top 8. The consensus here, people putting money on it. A business who needs to be sane and reasonable when setting that line
right.
For its own bottom line is saying he's probably going in the top 8. Okay, like, that's way better than your mock draft or your prediction as somebody who watches football. Like, that's what is really being said. That's what's expected. Another name for this is Jawan Taylor, an offensive tackle. Sal, who will be on with us at 4, did a radio hit in Jacksonville. I've done this with them, too. That's Mike Dempsey. And I was actually mad that Sal got to do it because I like going on with Mike Dempsey. But anyway, that's fine. I'll just be a little jealous about that.
When's my turn?
Yeah, you have not been called for that?
No.
So he said he was in this mock draft, and they have a reporter on. Sal's a better guy to do it than I am because he's more into this.
Sure.
Like, they call somebody from every market, what would happen here, and you pick somebody. And when Sal went on, he tweeted about this, how, like, all the guys that we all talk about for the Bills were already picked. And we brought this up with Sal yesterday. Like, there's a scenario.
Like a doomsday Bills scenario is what happened to Sal on the radio today. Yeah,
kind of. And he picked Jonah Williams, a tackle from Alabama. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Taylor was somebody who was in that top eight in Sal's thing, but he is probably going first of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And so on here at Bet Online, Jawan Taylor, even money, the line is not tilted one way or the other, top seven. So who picks Jawan Taylor, top seven? I think I might have written about this one. I'm betting no on that. I don't think I really did it, but I think I wrote about it. Who is picking Jawan Taylor top seven? It's not Arizona.
No.
What is Arizona doing if not Kyler Murray? Bosa?
I would think, unless they trade down below the top five because they really want to tackle, and then maybe they get to a guy like this. But no, I think they go with one of the stud defensive ends.
Like, who is taking Jawan? What team is the likeliest to do that in the top seven?
Probably Jacksonville.
At seven. Yeah, that's right. I think that's right. I was talking about Hockenson too. Like, it's maybe one or the other. Jacksonville and Hockenson is, I think, kind of logical.
Yeah, you did write about that. You said that you would like the no.
That's what I wrote.
Hockenson to the Jaguars.
Jacksonville. Yeah. That's right. So who's likeliest of, if there's anyone in the top six to do it?
Wow, how are the Raiders at tackle? Like, could they do that? They've got, every time I'm going to make a point about the Raiders doing something, I'm going to remind you they have three first round picks, and like, only one of them is way up there, but the other two sort of gives them a little like, okay, I really like this guy, and like, we should do this.
I think what you're saying too, when I think about that and them, the decision at four is number one, where is the best advantage? Like, we could use anything.
Mm-hmm.
They could use a tight end. Is there the greatest advantage in picking one at four than at 22?
Right.
If that's their other number.
Right.
Their next number.
That might be true of offensive tackle. Like, those two guys are,
that's right,
are thought of like that. And I mean, I haven't studied, you know, a lot of the 32 pick mock drafts, like first rounds. But I don't feel like there's a lot of tackles that you hear about beyond those two guys.
Okay.
From a non-Raider fan, if they're building this pickup to be some big surprise and they draft Jawan Taylor, it's going to be pretty lame.
Well, that would make...
Right. Then you need to know who is doing the building up.
Right.
Is it them? Or is it, you know, media? Well, you go round and round. I mean, it's really fun. Jawan Taylor, top seven. I say no on that just because I like the Hockenson idea more for Jacksonville. And, you know, I'd like that for the Bills. I think that would be fun and interesting if the Bills did that.
The tight end?
Yeah. I mean, I could see it.
I have a hard time with it. I have right from the start. But it's one of those very much so a, I hope I'm incorrect about this feeling I have. I don't envision them being a team that thinks, yeah, a tight end at nine. We'll get that off. We'll make that work for us. I don't know. I'd like it if they thought that way. I'm just not real confident that they will.
I just ran a quick mock on the Draft Network mock draft machine, and they had Jawan Taylor going sixth to the Giants and Noah Font going to the Jaguars.
Over Hockenson.
I have seen a little chatter about the Giants that if they didn't go quarterback, that offensive line would probably be top of their list.
Mm-hmm.
They have another pick, what, 17?
17th. So right. If they thought, hey, we can get our quarterback at 17, let's pick the lineman here. So they could be that.
I think wrongly tend to think of those offensive tackle ideas not in a vacuum, but how they reflect on what the quarterback situation is. And, like, you know, both times you mentioned it, the Raiders and then the Giants, I'm like, well, do they have a quarterback that they really need to protect? Because when people talk about that for teams like the Bills, they immediately say, oh, now they can protect Josh Allen, right? Like, if you listen to this thing on Thursday night and they pick a tackle,
it's usually a new
that's
guy
the first
that they're talking
thing
about. Yeah, right.
This is how they protect. It's almost like it fits in there logically. And I'm saying I think it's wrong to do this, but I do it. It fits in there logically if you have a young quarterback that you are grooming, that you draft the tackle for him. But really, the position's importance is the position's importance. If you have Eli Manning, you know, that's probably not salvageable, and that's why I think this way, and that's why people talk this way. But you might need a tackle just the same. And if you have a new quarterback next year who's young,
right.
Good if you have that tackle. 803-0550 is our number. Sal coming on at 4, as we said. Prop bets, TJ Hockenson, Kyler Murray, all of it. You want to talk about it with us, we are here. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. This is WGR.
It is going to all depend on where Kyler Murray goes. I think if he goes number one and you're a team that needs a quarterback, obviously I think that gives you a little more urgency. If you're targeting a guy like Haskins, maybe it's Drew Lock from Missouri, maybe it's even Daniel Jones from Duke. If one of those guys is your guy, if the earlier that first quarterback goes off the board, the more nervous those teams will probably get. And, you know, those teams, I'm talking about the Giants at 6. I'm talking about Cincinnati probably at 11, maybe Miami at 13, and Washington at 15.
Luke Easterling on WGR Sports Radio 550 this morning. The Draft Wire is his site. You want to get draft site going, you better get going. I mean, get your name, because almost every word in the language is taken. There's a draft blank. There's a draft everything.
Uh-huh, that's right.
The Draft Wire, the Draft Network, Draft Baller.
Really?
I don't know.
Draft Depot.
Draft and Roto.
Ooh, Draft Depot. That's a good one.
Get it in. File.
LLC.
Can I do that during the next break?
Sure.
Maybe.
How much time do you need?
Maybe I should.
Maybe you could do it right now.
I don't really have a staff yet, but whatever. Just trademark the name.
Just buy the
URL. Just fill in. I can
URL.
Go recruit people to work for the Draft Depot once I have the name trademarked. That's how you do. That's how business models work.
Get some t-shirts.
Come up with a name and a logo. Don't worry about all the details about who's actually going to do it.
Oh my God, the thing with the Texans logo. I just can't even put into words how stupid that all is. The Texans put a logo on the back of their jersey, which I don't care about at all. I wouldn't have ever noticed it. I just didn't need to know it. Nothing. Then they had this tweet yesterday where they offered like some quasi poetry to describe the meaning of putting the logo on the shirt. It's super tiny on the back of the shirt. The logo is our pride or whatever. I don't even want to be called on trying to say the words.
It was super cheesy. Whatever it was.
Like
it was
just super cheesy. It's just all so dumb, right? It's just so dumb.
Yep. The Draft Depot's not going to be dumb. So don't drag me down. We're just getting started.
Okay. I learned my lesson. We have Scott on WGR. Hello, Scott.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I really enjoy the show.
Sure. Thanks. We enjoy doing it.
Lifelong Giants fan here. I truly expect them to take the tackle. The Eli apologist in the world keeps saying he doesn't have time. So I think they go ahead and take him, and then I wouldn't be surprised if they try to move 17 for another first next year. But I think they want Tua next year. What do you guys think?
I don't know anything about that. I think whether everybody's watching closely to see if they draft a quarterback this year. They didn't last year, and it would take some nerve to wait another year. But they know they want to go with Manning. That's how they talk.
Yeah.
Like, I'm convinced that that's true. I have no opinion on the rest of it.
Yeah, I do wonder if, and maybe this is, you know, we only got a couple of days left here, whether there is, you know, an opinion, and that surely there's an opinion. Whether it's an opinion you want to trust at this point, this far out, is another matter, about next year's quarterback class stacking up to this year's. Like, are there better guys? Is the Clemson kid going to come out after next year? I don't know, maybe. Are there better looking guys than Drew Lock and Daniel Jones and like that group of guys? If you think that that's the case and you're the Giants or the Dolphins or any of these teams, you know, you might just put it off another year. I know it looks weird, but if you don't really like any of the guys, what are you doing?
What they should do, probably, is pick one and then be willing to pick one again.
Sure, that's a thing you could do. Yeah.
Where Arizona is, Arizona maybe doesn't want to do it. I don't think it's a strategy, but that's where they're at, it seems. But it could be a strategy. You just have to be willing to come off the spot. If the guy doesn't work, you're going to play him right away now. That's how we do it now. You're going to play him right away. And if he just shows too many bad signs, you bail. But bailing looks bad. it looks bad, especially because we're in this world where people talk about defensive players as like super meaningful, which is really not true. Like, they're great. There is great and bad. There is good and bad, but they're not really affecting your franchise too dramatically. And the quarterback does that. So what you should do is draft one and then test it and then see. Maybe you're good. Maybe right. It works out. The thing that you always have to do that none of these teams seems to ever want to do is accept the randomness of it.
Yeah.
And act like you don't know the future, which is what you totally should do, because everything about the history of sports tells us to do that. But these guys think, they act like they think they know. They are in those jobs, which must mean that they know. So if somebody on one of these teams, like the Giants, goes, yeah, this quarterback, I didn't like this throw, or I didn't like this answer, or I don't like his feet, or any of that stupid stuff. It's not all stupid. Any of that stuff, they go, yeah, well, my stake in the ground is this guy is not for us, and so we're going to draft a lineman.
I think Eli still being there for the Giants specifically, like you're making a broader point about personnel people in general, for the Giants to try a guy on now, like draft someone at 17, say, how ready to try him on are they going to be and then draft another guy next year? Because Eli is still there. Like, that's sort of in the way. Like, if they're drafting someone, they're probably trying to do what the Bills wanted to do last year.
Develop.
Which is let him sit there and, like, learn all the secret handshakes and stuff. And then, play him only if you have to or something, which it probably would happen pretty soon because Manning has been bad. So he'll be bad again, and then everyone will clamor for the guy that you just drafted. But I don't think teams are ready to start doing what the Cardinals might do this year in general, and the Giants aren't set up to me at all to do it.
No, the Giants are not going to be the team that does it.
Right. So
no, that's because why? Because in addition to the things I said, because these are people with jobs, and they do not want that on them. The guy who runs the Cardinals, the guy who runs the Giants, does not want that on him, because then it's a failure. And how does everybody talk when you do that? They talk about you like you are incompetent. It could be your plan. For value's sake, it makes a lot of sense. But football does not care about value when they talk. They care about traditions. They care about other things. They don't care about real value. They will tell you that they care about value when they're talking, but they don't, and they exhibit that. So the guy doesn't want it on him. I'm not drafting this guy. I don't even like him.
Right.
I mean, I'm not doing that. Right. Give me the tackle. How many people who watch football are even going to tell you, even going to know whether they're going to tell you if the guy was good? They're not going to even notice. They're not going to have an opinion that matters in the first place. And they're never going to know if the lineman is good. They're going to find out if other people say he's good, and then they're going to say whether he's good. That's it. If the team wins, they'll think he's good. If the team's bad, they'll think he's bad. So that's a lot safer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so that's what they're going to do. But it's not better for the Giants. It's not better for the team to do that. Now, here this doesn't even really apply this year, because everything is on Allen.
Right.
And they're all behind him, and that's just full speed ahead, right? And there's no backup plan in this draft for that. There's no thought to it. It's just him. That's it. And, you know, fine. Like, I'm not sitting here telling you they should draft Haskins. Right?
Right. No, me either.
Because
no.
This yeah. is what they're doing.
Right.
And that's that. In a year, if he doesn't win this year, if they're not good or he's not good, then it's totally – you could make the argument now. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but a lot of teams I would. Not really them. In a year, though, then you should have to think about it.
Right. And like, how does that conversation often go? That conversation often goes, do the same guys who would have missed, because in this scenario, he's not working out, so you got to do something else. Do the same guys get to do that again? Like, how often does that happen? Not that often. Sometimes it's a reason they just put it off another year. Like, well, we're waiting. We're not sure that there's still good signs. We need to shore up more. And like that's something you could end up hearing, in a certain kind of year. I mean, I don't want to paint the full picture here, but I think, you could have a year where they could want to sell that. And I think it'll be tough, especially if there's a nice looking class of guys coming out and you're picking, at least where they're picking this year. If you have that kind of year, I mean, good luck holding people off on that.
And I don't want to care about who the people are making the picks, which again is always the thing that's discussed. Oh, this team doesn't know how to draft. How many Bills fans even say that about the Bills, that, you know, through the years, that they don't know how to draft? There's no such thing as that. It doesn't matter who the people are. It matters what their understanding of the draft is, whoever they are. If it's Brandon Bean or if it's one of my kids, it doesn't matter. What is their understanding of the draft? Is their belief that they can tell you who the good players are going to be? Because that's kind of what the mandate is, and that's what everybody's understanding kind of is. But they really can't accept that and then watch what happens. Then you become the Eagles or the Patriots, who figured out years ago that they don't know that, and so what they're going to do is trade down and pick up compensatory picks by how they sign free agents and add players. And even though the Patriots are no better at drafting than any other team, really,
no,
they win more.
And surely they, despite having this as a tactic, it's like, I'm sure, I mean, they pick players. I'm sure they pick them on some criteria that they've established themselves. Like, I like this guy. I like these traits. I like his handshake. I like his high school coach. Like, what? I'm sure a lot of that stuff still exists even in those franchises. I mean, really, I'm sure. My opinion is that it would. It would surprise me if it doesn't.
It would surprise me if Belichick cared about any of that.
Yeah.
And it's his call. And that team, right. it's his call. It would surprise me if he cared about any of that. But I don't know.
Yeah. I would bet he does. So we're in different places there. I think there's a lot. The trading down and compiling stuff is acknowledging that it's better to have more shots. But that doesn't convince me that you're not taking the same shots other guys are. Or like arriving at your decisions in a similar fashion on the guys you actually select. Because otherwise you would just throw darts at it, I think. I don't think they're doing that.
Here's Brian next. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Good.
So I have a gambling comment, a first-round comment, and a second-round comment, and I'd appreciate it if you don't hang up on me in between the three. First one is, you know, I want to watch Game 7. There's two Game 7s tonight. What is the best site you go through?
To do what?
To just put money on Game 7.
I don't know sites versus each other. But I'm using Bet Online to look at odds. And there are probably lots of them, but I don't know the difference.
No. So that's not the site that you're betting on?
Bet Online is the site that I use that I get information from. I really don't know even the names of any other.
Okay. All right. Second comment, first round. I have three scenarios. And please keep me on the line for the second round.
Brian, come on. What do you think this is?
I mean,
hit it.
I see three scenarios where we could trade up at four with the Raiders for Nick Bosa. That would be a stretch. Hawkinson's there at nine. We take him. Hawkinson's not there at nine. We trade back. Jonah Williams, in my opinion, is going to fall. He's a 6'4", short-armed tackle that probably projects best at guard. But he's going to fall. And I'll let you guys, I guess, comment on that until I get to my second round three.
What do you want to hear? I mean, what is the question?
No, I was just seeing what you thought I said.
Well, I don't think they're going to take the tight end. I'd love it if they did, but I don't think they will. I don't know about trading up. I don't want to trade up really for anyone. So there's my opinion on those two. And I've read a lot of what you're saying about the Alabama tackle, the short arms, and like that he, you know, maybe he'll end up being a guard.
Yeah, Brian, just always trade down for me, no matter what the player is, who the player is.
Yeah, I mean, I would always trade back, actually.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah, that's what he said, yeah.
Yeah, I would always trade back naturally. I mean, trading up hasn't worked for the Bills in many years.
It's just not smart, no matter what the team is, almost no matter who the player is. It's just not a smart thing to do.
Yeah, the only one I can remember working out was Julio Jones, but anyways, my second-round prediction, who I think might end up a first-round pick, is a kid from Temple who played at Presbyterian College for 3 years when they were an FCS school, and then they went to Division II, and he left and played at Temple, played in the Senior Bowl this year, Very unique name. The great thing about him.
What is his name?
Rock Ya-Sin.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know anything about him, Brian. Sorry.
No, but he was an all-state wrestler in high school, which I think would intrigue Sean McKinney.
Okay. Maybe. Thanks, Brian. Okay.
Probably would, yeah.
Here's Rich next. Hello, Rich.
Gentlemen, good evening. My thing about...
Rich, it's 3:46. What time do you get up?
Good afternoon. My thing, you guys were talking a little bit earlier, this whole Murray thing, it just does not make sense because Arizona has no offensive line. I don't care who their quarterback is.
I would care who their quarterback is. I think it matters who their quarterback is.
But the smart thing would be to do is, obviously with these teams that need a quarterback, they get the first pick. You see if you can dance with either Oakland or Miami or Cincinnati, get an extra pick either in the first round or second round. You take the best offensive tackle with that pick, whether it's Taylor or Williams or the guy from Washington State, protect Rosen because obviously, like I said, it doesn't matter. And you have to think about replacing Fitzgerald. He's getting up there in age.
Well, they drafted a receiver early last year who's good.
But still, they stick with the...
So you don't need to, but no, I mean, does it matter what we say? Are we having a conversation here? Like,
well, yeah.
You don't really need to worry about replacing Larry Fitzgerald. Like, that's not a thing they need to do in the first round. Arizona is not a team that needs to do that.
No. What I'm saying is this. You got to give Rosen protection on that line. That offensive line is horrible.
Well, you also said the thing about Fitzgerald. That's what I was commenting on.
Well, I was saying in later rounds, like second round, third round, whatever extra pick you would make if you traded down.
Okay. Yeah, I disagree 100% that it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. But thank you. 803-0550, Sal Capaccio in 15 minutes here on WGR.
He's absolutely the most significant driver of that, without a doubt. I have other responsibilities, so I'm not able to be there on a day-to-day basis, but Chris Taylor is there every day, living and breathing the Rochester Americans, the development mandate from the Buffalo Sabres, and there is nobody better suited to drive that part of our organization than Chris Taylor. He is the single biggest reason that we've been able to do what we've done in a short period of time, because it all flows through Tails.
Randy Sexton of the Sabres talking about Chris Taylor. I would ask Joe when the next game is for Rochester, but he won't know because he's muted the word Amerks from his Twitter.
What?
Because he's just so exhausted by, like, okay, another year about how I'm going to read how good the prospects are. Is that kind of it? Like, you're just you're
pretty
fed
much.
Up.
They do play tomorrow, though.
Tomorrow is game
it's
two.
In Toronto. It's not tonight. Okay.
Tomorrow in Toronto.
Okay. They lost game two in overtime. They're up 2-0 going into the third.
Yep.
It's tough. Best of five.
Best of five. This is it.
Right.
Down two games.
You have to win three in a row.
Yeah.
Just don't ask Joe how they do.
Right.
Here on, I'm just. I need a break. I need a break.
Any predictions for tonight, hockey?
I like the Tri-City Storm over the Des Moines Buccaneers to sweep their second round Clark Cup playoff series.
How do you go against your kid's team like that?
He's not even dressing.
Yes, for
he's
one prediction.
He's not even dressing.
Bulldog, give me one hockey prediction. My son's team will lose. What the heck is that? You kind of want that, though, right? You want to be done.
I mean...
You don't have to say that. You don't have to answer that.
Yeah, I mean...
I shouldn't have said it.
I think he's ready to come home.
He's not gotten to play yet.
It's been a long haul. Yeah, it's been tough. I mean, I'm glad that they've kept him there and thought it was a value for him to be there to like see how it all gets done, you know, at that level. But yeah, he's ready to come home and get like start working. You know, this is a busy time of the year. This is when you get ready for next year for him already. So he's missing out on that. Anyway, I don't know. I'll take the Leafs tonight.
Go Leafs!
Just because Boston is the worst.
Period.
I'm rooting for Boston.
That's
tonight.
It.
Why?
I can't stand Leaf fans. I just can't stand it.
When do you run into them?
I want another first round exit to launch a grenade into their organization and like start firing people.
That's a point. Ugh. That is a point.
Right. Boston's gonna be Boston. Toronto, like there will be some real turmoil. I think if they lose,
maybe that's a point.
All right.
I like that point. But, you know, the fans, I heard Howard say that. When is Howard running into Leaf fans? Like, where do you go that this is a problem for you? At the grocery store? At the hardware store? Like, are you going to Toronto?
And
are you going to rallies in Toronto? Where are you going?
And have you ever been to Boston?
I haven't. Now, see, there is a point, because I have not been to Boston. I do go to Toronto, not, I don't want to say frequently, but once in a while. And I'll wear a Sabres hat or a Sabres shirt, and I get comments. I like the back and forth, but Boston I've never been to, so I'm assuming there'd be that there too.
We gotta go to a break and talk to Sal, but there's a thing about like wearing the Buffalo teams out of town now. What it says is you are loyal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says. Like you are a Sabres hat into Boston.
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah. Or Toronto. Like I am loyal. This is my team, and I know they're bad. You're gonna tell me they're bad. I know, but I am loyal. I was gonna wear a Leaf jersey in here today. Because I've got six of them that are just collecting dust in my closet. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to upset anybody.
Right.
But I do really hope they win.
I do have my Buccaneers hat on, despite what I said about their game tonight.
If I had a Tri-City Storm toque, maybe. Sal, next. Back to the draft here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.